We're excited to kick off this season again with Midwestern Seminary back as our flagship sponsor for the spring. Located in Kansas City, Missouri, Midwestern Seminary exists for the church by biblically educating God-called men and women to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Midwestern's For the Church vision permeates everything they do, from classroom experience, faculty membership, and includes their new 100% tuition scholarship for first-year residential master students through their For the Church cohorts. It's unbelievable. You have to go check this out. Even if you're unable to relocate to campus, Midwestern Seminary offers flexible and fully online undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees through their global campus, which is designed to allow you to stay rooted in your current ministry context. If you're ready to begin your theological education, whether to move forward in your vocation, to be a more faithful leader in the life of your church, to be a more active and engaged disciple maker in your local context, I could not more heartily encourage you to apply to Midwestern Seminary for free with the code KNOWINGFAITH. You can apply to Midwestern Seminary for free with code KNOWINGFAITH at mbts.edu/apply. Go check out all that God is doing at Midwestern Seminary this year. Welcome to After the Fact, a Knowing Faith mini episode where we look to take a big question and address it in just a few minutes. Our After the Fact episodes this season are brought to you by our season sponsor, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We love what Midwestern's up to, and we love their motto, For the Church. That resonates so deeply with the goal of Knowing Faith podcast, which is to see a theological movement that is from and for the church. And joining us today is Dr. Patrick Schreiner. Dr. Schreiner is the director of the residency PhD program, associate professor of New Testament Biblical Theology at Midwestern. He is also the author of a number of books, including, but not limited to, Commentary on Acts, The Visual Word, which is an illustrated guide to the New Testament, The Mission of the Triune God, A Theology of Acts with Crossway, The Kingdom of God and the Glory of the Cross, which is with Crossway, and the recently released The Transfiguration of Christ, which is with Baker, and what we're going to talk about today. Dr. Schreiner, thanks for jumping on.
Good to be with you, Kyle.
All right, here's your big question. Why is Moses at the Transfiguration event? We're doing Exodus this season on Knowing Faith. You just wrote a book on the Transfiguration. Moses makes an appearance there. Why? Why is he there?
Yeah. Can I give you a lot of reasons for why he's there? Because there's usually not just one reason. So when you think about the Transfiguration, one of the main things that comes out of that narrative is that Jesus ascends a mountain and his face shines like the sun. So immediately you should be thinking about Moses, and it is kind of a new Sinai moment. So just as Moses ascended the mountain, and if you remember from Exodus, he ascended the mountain with three figures, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. So Jesus ascends the mountain on the Mount of Transfiguration with three figures, Peter, James, and John. And as he comes to the top of the mountain, his face shines. He's transfigured, just like Moses as he goes up Mount Sinai, and his face shines. And so Paul is going to talk about that in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. And so Jesus is definitely a new Moses. And so Moses appears, I think, signaling that Jesus is this new type of Moses figure. And Moses represents the law. And then Elijah appears with him, who represents the prophet. So you've got this picture of Jesus as this new prophet. What's interesting, though, is that the voice from heaven comes and says, listen to him. This is my beloved son. And if you even think about Hebrews 3 and 4 talks about the difference between Moses and Jesus. And one thing it presses in on, though, is that Moses is a servant while Jesus is the son. So Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, because Moses is only the builder of the house, right? Jesus is the house himself. So I think we need to read the Transfiguration narrative actually twice to understand what's going on with the connection to Moses, because not only does Jesus ascend the mountain as the new Moses, but he actually is the one who descends upon the mountain. He's the one whom Moses sees on the top of Mount Sinai. There's parallels between Jesus and Moses, but there's differences, because Moses's face started glowing. It was shiny. It was reflective because Moses saw something on the mountain. Jesus's face shines because of who he is. So Moses's shining face was a reflection. Jesus is essential to who he is. So I think the transfiguration narrative is saying, yes, Jesus is the new Moses, as in he's a man, he's truly man, but he's more than the new Moses because he's the beloved eternal son. He's the one whom Moses longed to see on the mountain. And so you guys are going through Exodus. In Exodus, there's this movement of Moses seeing God in the burning bush, seeing God on Mount Sinai. I don't know where you are in Exodus, but in Exodus 33, then he asked to see the face of God.
Okay.
He asked to see his glory. And Yahweh says to him, no, you can only see my back, because if you see my face, you will die. So I think actually the transfiguration narrative is fulfilling Moses' request. Now he sees the face of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which is exactly what Jesus says in John, that to see the Father, you must see the Son. It's only through the Son that you see the Father. And so there's so much going on here in terms of the connections to Moses, but not just the connections to Moses, the reality that Jesus is more than the greater Moses. He's the beloved Son.
Okay. That was there was a lot there. There was a lot of really good there. I want to circle back to something that was small that you said, but who did Moses see on the top of the mountain?
Moses saw into the heavens. I think he saw the form of God is what it says, right? I'd have to go back to Exodus. Actually, you might remember better than I do. It's unclear exactly what he sees, but he sees something of Yahweh. I think we want to connect it to, at least in my mind, I've connected it to what Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6 and what Ezekiel sees in Ezekiel 1 and 2. In Ezekiel, it's more clear that he sees kind of a human form, right? In the Moses narrative, if I'm remembering correctly, there's a point maybe even in Numbers or Deuteronomy where it talks about like he saw the form of God, but it's actually really obscure what Moses is seeing, right?
So as
Moses goes up, I think the picture that we have of Sinai is Moses is seeing into the heavens from the mountain and seeing the throne room of God. And typically what happens in the Old Testament, and I'd love to hear your feedback on this, my sense is that in the Old Testament, they see something, but it's also kind of shadowy. It's kind of mystical. Yeah. It's covered in cloud. There's like a human one maybe up there on the throne, but they can't quite tell who it is.
Yeah.
And so they're seeing something of Yahweh. I mean, on Sinai, it's fire and cloud and smoke, right?
Yeah.
And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's brightness. There's cloud there too, but it is kind of the glory cloud there. So that's, I didn't even mention that, but in the Transfiguration scene, there's also this cloud that comes. I think that's the Shekinah glory cloud, the presence of the Lord cloud. So the Transfiguration, just like the Old Testament, there's a sense of the hiddenness of God, and there's a sense of the revelation of God that's combined in these two narratives, but there's more revelation in the Transfiguration, because it's the new covenant.
Sure.
We're entering into the new covenant now. We're seeing Jesus Christ in the flesh. So in the old covenant, there's more shadows, there's more cloud.
Yeah.
But I think even in the new covenant, I think sometimes we make mistakes here. We think, oh, everything's revealed. Well, no, in the rest of the scriptures, it says still no one can see God. God is invisible, right? He dwells in unapproachable light. And so, but it also affirms, it's almost a paradox, right? It also affirms we see God in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So both those things have to be true. It's how do you put those together? So I don't know if I quite answered your question, but
No, you did. And the reason I was kind of angling for it, because I am kind of wondering what is the manner of the glory that we see at the Transfiguration, and is it a different kind of glory than what is present at Sinai, or is it merely a different degree of glory? I've wondered if what's the glory cloud around Sinai, is that of a different degree than the Transfiguration? Is it different in clarity because of what it reveals or what it doesn't or what it keeps hidden, or is it different? Is it a different kind? And I just don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it is of a different kind, in that there is more revelation to see Jesus Christ in the flesh.
Sure.
Is to know God in unique sense. This is how God has condescended to man. I think you'd affirm that.
Right.
But Jesus is still the God of Israel, and it's the same glory that he's always possessed, right? And so in that sense, it's the same degree, because God has always been one in three persons. Right. And so what Moses is seeing on the mountain is the triune God, right? But it's not in the old covenant. Right. Christ has not taken on flesh. And so you're just in a different era. And so I am saying right. one is better, but it's not better because it's like God improved. That would be heresy, right?
Yeah.
It's better because our eyes are opened more. The cloud in one sense has been lifted while the cloud is still there, which is, I mean, even pitching, like I've been talking a lot about this narrative, but even if you go forward to heaven, all the church fathers talked about how when we see God mm-hmm. in the new heavens and new earth, we will see it. 1 John 3:2 says, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But if God is infinite, our mm-hmm. our sight of him always be progressive, even in the new heavens and new earth. And I think for some Christians, that's hard to comprehend. And the idea is not that you would lack like a fulfilled sense in the new heavens and new earth, but rather that it's like you climb to one peak of the mountain and you're like, this is amazing and glorious, and I don't think there could be anything ever more than this. And the next day you climb to the next height. And then the next day you climb to the next height. And it's a never-ending mountain because God is infinite, and you see more and more and more of him. And in one sense, the scriptures are leading us already up that mountain, right? Moses is getting a glimpse at a mm-hmm. lower level at Sinai, and then he's getting, oh, there's Jesus Christ. Now I see God in the flesh. And then in the new heavens and new earth, I think there will even be more clarity, but it'll still be infinite progress because we are created and he is the creator, and we will always long to see more of him, which actually makes heaven really exciting to me because we won't be like, all right, got it. Now mm-hmm. what's next? It'll be like tomorrow we're going to be so excited right. because there's going to be, we'll see more and more and more, but we will never not be fulfilled. It'll just be more fulfillment every day, which I mean, yeah, you just think about, I think as humans, we always want to grow. We always want to expand. Every day mm-hmm. we wake up with something to accomplish. And I think in the new heavens and new earth, it'll be like that in a way, but we will always be perfectly happy with what we have accomplished in that day, right? Does that make sense? So it's like happiness with progression. Yeah. We just think of heaven so statically. So I didn't plan on speaking about heaven in this podcast, but here we are.
Well, I think that it'd be hard to not speak about heaven in light of the transfiguration.
That's right.
Hey, Dr. Schreiner, thank you for your time. Listen, if you want to hear more about what Dr. Schreiner thinks about the Transfiguration, you can pick up his new book from Baker that just came out. By the time this episode comes out, it will have released a couple of weeks back. So go check it out wherever you get your books. After the Fact is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you're ready to take your next step in theological training, consider Midwestern Seminary and how their For the Church vision can equip you through formal theological education. You can learn more about how to get started at mbts.edu/knowingfaith. Faith. That's mbts.edu/knowingfaith. Did this episode spark an interest to learn more about Jesus, the Bible, or theology? You can receive free theological training through Midwestern Seminary's For the Church Institute, which offers courses in Old and New Testament, Christian theology, and more, including the newly released course on missional leadership. Again, this is free theological training that you can use for your own equipping, for the equipping of those in your church, and it is available for groups or on your own. You can learn more and get started today at ftcinstitute.com. Again, that's ftcinstitute.com for theological training courses, free theological training courses today. Go check it out.